same. Don't miss the opportunity.
How are we going to live in these troubled times? There's really only one answer. We have to become saints.
The world is in great need of saints. And in fact, you and I are called to become saints. We can't deny this. In the Bible, Jesus is calling us to holiness. We read from the letters of St. Paul that we're called to holiness. We hear from the lives of the saints that we're all called to holiness. We hear from the documents of the church that there's a universal call to holiness. We cannot deny this. If we're created to be with God in heaven, that means God created us to become saints. That means God Himself wants you to become a saint. Now, we can think of canonized saints, and we might not be canonized saints, but that really doesn't matter. What matters is that we're in heaven with God. What matters is that we're canonizable. So we go to the saints for our intercession, but we also are called to imitate the saints. In one of the documents of the church called Lumen Gentium, in paragraph 50, it says that the saints are a sure guide, a safe guide for us to get to heaven, a safe guide for us to grow in holiness and to be closer to Jesus Christ. So we can look to the saints on how to live our lives. But if we're called to be a saint, I'm called to be a saint, you're called to be a saint, that means other people should be able to look at my life, should be able to look at your life and say, that is how I should live my life. I too, my life should be a pathway. It should be a light for other people to follow according to my particular vocation. So if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a son, if you're a student, if you're a doctor, if you're a priest, people should be able to look at your life as a great witness of how a priestly life should be, how a married life should be, how a student life should be, according to holiness, according to God's way, not according to the world's way. But the question remains, how do I become a saint practically? That's what this video is really about. How can I become a saint? If I'm called to be a saint, how do I become a saint? Well, there's a couple of answers. Some people could say, and these would be true, to love the Lord your God above all else, to offer everything you do as a prayer, to have a great sense of God's presence, to do God's will. And yes, those are really great answers. But I want to talk about more practical things. If the saints are our sure guides to heaven, one of the easiest things that we can do is act like a saint. Follow the saints. Act like a saint, and you should become a saint. Do the things that saints would do, and slowly those actions will help you to become a saint. But there's so many different saints. Which one do I follow? Well, there are two qualities in particular that I'd like to focus on today. These two qualities will help us because they apply to every saint. They apply to every vocation. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, or child, if you're rich or poor, you can do these two qualities of the saints. All of the great saints had these two qualities in common. I'm talking about very different people. The saints are very different people. Think of St. John Paul II. He was a very different saint from St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Think of St. Faustina. She was very different from St. John Bosco, different from Padre Pio, different from Maximilian Kolbe, different from St. John Vianney, different from St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And yet all of these great saints, these saints with different temperaments and different vocations, they all had at least these two things in common. They had more things in common, but we're going to focus on these two things that all of us can do, these two things that we can all strive for. First, what is the first one? The first one is, are you ready for the first one? The first one is really the center and the source of the Catholic faith. The first one is being Eucharistic-centered. All of the saints had Jesus in the Eucharist as their first love. So I should strive, you should strive to be Eucharistic-centered. Well, what does that mean to be Eucharistic-centered? That means to love the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, really, truly, substantially present in the Eucharist above all else. That our whole entire life should revolve around, should center upon our reception of Holy Communion, our adoration of Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. So what does this look like? If I'm trying to have this, if I'm trying to have Jesus as a source in the summit of my life, what would that look like practically? Well, ask myself, what would my life look like if Jesus really was the source and the summit of my life? What did the saints do practically? They would make frequent visits to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We can all do this. We can all stop in the chapel. We can all make visits. They would receive Jesus in Holy Communion as often as they possibly could. And when they couldn't receive him, they would make a spiritual communion. A spiritual communion is when you pray and you say, Lord, I believe that you are really present in the Most Holy Eucharist, but I cannot receive you sacramentally at this time. But I'm begging you, please, come into my soul at least spiritually and allow me to be united to you and never let me be separated from you. So they could make a spiritual communion. What else? When they did make communion, they would be so reverent, so pious in their actions. To sum it up, how do you become Eucharistic-centered? You take the idea that Jesus is really, truly, substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The whole person of Jesus is there, and you simply act like it. You do the things that the saints did to show that they love Jesus above all else. So it only follows that if Jesus is our first love, if the Eucharist is the goal, we want to be Eucharistic-centered, then it would only follow that our second love would be the one who brought us Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary. All the saints had these two things in common. They were Eucharistic-centered and they were Marian. I'm going to focus on the Marian aspect, particularly because Mary brings us closer to Jesus. In fact, if you want to have such a heart on fire, a heart out of love for God, focus on being Marian, and Mary will help you to be devoted to Jesus in the Eucharist. I've known good people who've tried to be Eucharistic-centered. They try to visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament often. They try to make frequent communions. But many of them, they've fallen away or they've become lukewarm. They've let their Eucharistic devotion fall to the wayside. And I would argue that it was because they first allowed their Marian devotion to fall to the wayside. If we have a very fervent devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she will keep and protect and sustain our Eucharistic devotion. Jesus himself gives Mary to the beloved disciple. The beloved disciple really represents each one of us. Jesus himself gives Mary to us as our mother, and we in return must show her proper attention and proper reverence. You might ask me, well, I don't have this love for Mary in my heart. How do I get this love for Mary in my heart? Do things that are Marian. Like what? Well, what did the saints do to be Marian? Well, they manifested their Marian devotion in various ways. And these are ways that we can also emulate. Like wear the brown scapular. When there's Marian feast days, bring Mary flowers. Celebrate her feast days with a special solemnity. Do the 33-day consecration of St. Louis de Montfort. But above all else, there is one devotion that stands out above the rest. There's one devotion that the saints, the popes, and the church in her documents puts at the highest rank, the preeminent Marian devotion, and that is the praying of the rosary, the daily rosary. Wow, it's so powerful because it's something that I do every single day. Pope Pius XII has said that of all the Marian devotions, the rosary is the greatest. According to St. John Paul II, it would be impossible to name all the many saints who found in the rosary a genuine path to holiness. And according to Pope Leo XIII, the rosary is the most excellent form of prayer besides the Most Holy Mass. Why is the rosary so great? Because in it is contained the very heart of the Christian mysteries. It is rooted in sacred scripture. It's at the same time Christocentric and Marian. It's a powerful prayer because it has vocal prayer and meditative prayer, and it helps us to enter into even to contemplation. Our Lady alone has the promise from God to crush the head of the serpent. So I would argue that if this is the preeminent Marian devotion, and if Marian devotion is so powerful, that the devil must hate Marian devotion. And if the rosary is so powerful of a Marian devotion, you can be assured that the devil, the father of lies, is working hard to keep us from praying the rosary. He's working hard to keep us from spreading the rosary. But you know what? The saints are our sure guide. And so I would like to briefly re-examine the rosary in light of the saints to help clarify, to help shine the light of God's truth on any shadows that the devil might have introduced concerning the Most Holy Rosary. Now, one of my favorite saints is Saint Louis de Montfort. He's a great Marian saint, one of the greatest of Marian saints. His books on Mary and Marian devotion are so popular. He wrote the book called The Secret of the Rosary, and I really consider this book a masterpiece. This book, to me, is more valuable than gold because it contains truths that will affect me for all of eternity. So when I first started reading this book, I was trying to read this book with an open mind to how the rosary should be prayed. And within the very first few pages, I was extremely surprised. This great doctor of the rosary, this great preacher of Marian devotion, was promoting the rosary as 15 decades. So listen to this. "So by all means, we should eagerly crown ourselves with these roses from heaven and recite the entire rosary every day. That is to say, three rosaries each of 5 decades. Wow, St. Louis de Montfort is saying that every day we should be praying 15 decades of the rosary. So you might be thinking, wow, maybe this is for priests and religious. He can't be talking about lay people. In this chapter, he's dedicating it to sinners. It was the previous chapter that he dedicated to priests. When St. Louis de Montfort is promoting the 5 decades of the rosary, he's actually dedicating that chapter to little children. But I don't want you to get discouraged and say, oh, I'm barely doing the children's rosary, because the rosary is powerful. Even if you're just praying one a day, that's better than not praying any rosaries a day. Now, let's get back on topic. The whole point is, how did the saints use the rosary? According to St. Louis de Montfort, St. Francis de Sales, a doctor of the church, dedicated himself to praying the entire rosary every day, which was 15 decades, 3 sets of mysteries. Also, St. Charles Borromeo also prayed the 15 decades. St. Pius V, one of the greatest popes who has ever ruled the church, also prayed the 15 decades. St. Thomas of Villanova, St. Ignatius, St. Francis Xavier, St. Francis Borgia, St. Teresa, St. Philip Neri. I know also St. John the 23rd, Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa. All of these saints prayed at least the entire set of mysteries. So that's great news. Are you kidding me? That's amazing news. So yes, it might be a little depressing. You've only been praying one rosary, but look how close you are. 2 more rosaries and you'd be tied with the great heavyweight saints of the church. Wow, this is such great news. You might be saying, but Gabriel, they only prayed 3 sets of mysteries. Pope John Paul II introduced the luminous mysteries. And I would say, wow, if you went one further, if you prayed all 4 mysteries, 20 decades, wow, not only are you holier in your Marian devotion than St. Francis de Sales, you're holier in your Marian devotion than St. John the 23rd, wow. All of these graces are going to be available to you. Your soul will be touched. You'll have the Holy Spirit enlightening you throughout the day. And again, you might not be canonized, and I might not be canonized, but I promise you, if you did that, you would be canonizable. Now, I know what you're thinking. The first thing you think when I propose such an idea to you is, this must take a long time. This is going to take a long time. I don't have that much time. We have that much time. Think about how simple this would be. You pray a rosary on the way to work. Check. That's 1. You pray a rosary on the way home from work. Check. That's 2. You pray a rosary with your family before bed. Bam, that's 3. That's simple. You're more likely to pray the rosary if you have a rosary with you at all times. Don't you realize that when we die, it's over? This life is so short compared to eternity, and we can't go back. So yeah, it might seem like, wow, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to pray a couple rosaries. But all of eternity, we'll be getting the merits from this, especially if we help to save our family and our friends. And lastly, I'm a father. I want what's best for my children. I'm a teacher. I want what's best for my students. What's best for my children? Heaven. What's best for my students? Heaven. Sanctity. To be saints. How am I gonna get my children to heaven? How am I gonna convince my students to be saints? If I myself am not doing it, how can I convince my students to be Eucharistic-centered and to be Marian? If I myself am not adequately Eucharistic-centered and adequately Marian? There's a Latin axiom, nemo dat quod non habet. I cannot give what I do not have. So if you become Marian, if you become Eucharistic-centered, your Marian devotion will spill out into the lives of your children. Your Marian devotion will grow seeds of faith in the hearts of your students. Let's all strive to be holy. Yes, we have concupiscence. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we're sinners. But let's walk in the footsteps of the saints. Let's try. Let's put that as our goal. The end in mind is heaven. And not just sneaking into heaven. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be as close to Jesus as possible. I want to walk in the footsteps of the saints. So together, you and I, let's strive for this and let's pray with one another and let's pray for one another and let's pray to Our Lady. Let's pray the prayer that has never been known to fail. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Mother, we consecrate our lives to you. We consecrate our sanctity to you. We offer all to you and we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection or implored your help or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you all, and God love you. Let's strive to be saints.